National Football League Talk every Tuesday with Bo Marchand, covering the NFL Draft at college2pro.com and the NFL Draft Bible, covering the Steelers for Sports Illustrated, living and running in Eastern Ohio, and on Twitter X at Bo Marchand. Here's Bo with Bryant and Brett.
Bo Marchand joins us now, like he does every single Tuesday afternoon, to talk the NFL. Bo, thanks so much for joining us. Brett and I were just discussing it. I believe we have this right. We will get a schedule reveal on Thursday for this upcoming NFL season. And if that is right, what do you expect to see once we get that?
We'll probably get a rematch of the Super Bowl. I assume that's probably looming. Yeah. I don't know what to expect. You know, I was looking at the Steelers' home schedule. That looks pretty good. And, that's kind of usually my curious part of some of the teams that are going to come in the Aperture Stadium and some of the players that I've never seen or some of the players I've seen before that I get to see again. I just know when, you know, Brett Favre was playing or Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, those type of iconic guys, I always got excited knowing that those guys were going to come through Heinz Field at the time and I was going to say, hey, I got to see those guys play. But there's some more. I think the Texans, I could be wrong, but, you know, C. Stroud is an NFL guy, and I could be totally wrong, but I want to say that they're coming. But nonetheless, those are some of the things that I pay most attention to when the schedule comes out.
Yeah, the opponents are known. We're just waiting for dates and some times. And, of course, we know the flex aspect, especially later in the year, and I don't blame them for it because it's really big money. I'm seeing this now at a credible Twitter site that covers all things NFL scheduling related, for what it's worth, and I think it's pretty credible. NFL schedule now expected to be released on Tuesday, May 14th, week Whoa. From today. The complication has been figuring out how to work around this year's Christmas games, which are being held on a Wednesday. Teams are expecting to receive the schedules on Sunday, the 12th, though there is still a possibility that the release could even be pushed back until next Thursday, May Whoa. 16th.
Wow.
And they know, Bo, when they give it to the teams, here comes the leaks.
Right. You're exactly right. And most of the time, anything that's leaked wants to be leaked in some way.
Almost always, even scheduling related. Any reporter that league sources tell me the Steelers will open opening Sunday afternoon against X, it's been fed to him by media relations.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There's nobody. And yeah, exactly right.
That's
right.
There's
nobody
league
at headquarters. Exactly right.
Bo, I just saw this a couple of minutes ago, and I think it came out within the last hour, but Rashee Rice, who we've already talked about this year with that motor vehicle incident in Dallas back about a month ago or so, where he was involved in the hit and run and just kind of fled after that, got out of his car and ran off. Now it looks like he is under investigation for allegedly hitting a photographer at a club in Dallas Monday night. This is certainly a bad offseason with all of these off-the-field situations for him. What does this mean for his future with the Chiefs and with the NFL?
Well, I guess you got to go through the court system or however that breaks. You know, I saw it too, and I have no idea what went on. We often see incidents with players and others, and we don't know if it's a true act of violence and discretion or it's somebody, you know, hoping to get a little coin in their pocket. So, you know, let the system play out and we'll find out where it goes. But if there is any credence to those allegations, you got to think, you know, what happened with this young man? You know, why is he kind of going off the rail a little bit? And especially after the high-speed incident, you think he would be really, really kind of honing in on staying away from any adversity, anything that could cause him harm or playing time. Because we know, like, you know, the things I've read most about this Rashee Rice thing are the people that are going to sue for money and all those types of things. So it's not going to be light. And they know he has it, and he's going to be needing to chase that paycheck to kind of keep those, you know, hawks off his back. And, you know, doing what he's doing, he might not be getting game checks. And I assume he'll miss time, And if this comes down, you just figure, you know, Roger Goodell is going to look at these incidents combined, if they're true, and then kind of go from there, and you're going to have a little bit more of a, if you're the Chiefs and you're Rashee Rice, you're going to have a lot more of a headache on the horizon than what you would have had rather this didn't happen. But nonetheless, he's a key ingredient. Mm-hmm. He became the go-to guy. We know Kelce's the guy, but he became the go-to receiver, rookie season. The kid looks phenomenal, and it's you just hope he gets his head on straight. This is the last we hear of it, and we see a Pro Bowl career. But we're starting to see the a guy that looked on so much promise, got a Super Bowl ring, was dynamic, and lo and behold, you know, now we see what's going to go on. So, you know, we'll see.
He's about to blow it all. We got to remember last year, we just concentrate on how it ended, and it ended very gloriously again for Kansas City. But there was a stretch late in the year that Patrick Mahomes couldn't get anybody that could consistently catch the ball.
Yeah, it was. And I remember I did some numbers on that, and it was almost bizarre. Like, his completion percentage was like, this is off the top of my head. I remember the numbers at the time. But it was like 66, to say 66.4. And last year at the same time, when all this was going on, it was like 66.1. The drops were there, but I think the reason we talked so much was Tyreek Hill was no longer there. The balls that were being dropped were critical passes, critical big play balls that could change the game that the Chiefs desperately needed. You know, not oftentimes do we worry in the first quarter, you know, just hypothetically, if Kenny Pickett drops back and there's an incompletion to Najee Harris. But it's late in the game. It's the Monday night game, and all eyes are on the NFL, and Mahomes drops back, and Marquise Valdes-Scantling, you know, drops a critical ball. There's an eye. So there was a lot said. I do think it was a little overhyped. I think if people kind of dive inside the numbers, it wasn't as bad as it was kind of perceived. But nonetheless, they did have to kind of just spruce up the receiving core and add some weapons. You know, Sky Moore never made it. Kadarius Toney, they acquired from the Giants, never panned out. So they're still kind of trying to find a solid group to build around Kelce. And Rice is that guy. You got to hope Xavier Worthy pans out and Rice is on the field. With those three and the additions that they have in Jared Wiley, the tight end, you kind of think the Chiefs should be not maybe as high-powered they were with Tyreek Hill, but somewhat high-powered that we're accustomed to seeing in Kansas City with Mahomes.
What really rocked people and nerved people, you're right about the percentages, it wasn't that big a difference. But Mahomes' reaction to it, those sideline pictures of him kind of being very un-Patrick Mahomes, throwing his helmet, gesticulating wildly, kind of into it with some of the players on his own bench, we had just never seen that from him. But it ended
well, you
well
know
for
what?
Him.
Yeah. Well, you know, because the offense was struggling. I think there's a lot of other things that went into that. And as Mahomes was trying to do what he does best, is, you know, make big passes, those big-time catches that were often made, those were the ones that were being dropped. And I think it's kind of like Ernest Byner's fumble. You know, Ernest Byner's known as the guy that made the fumble in Cleveland, but people forget he went on to win a Super Bowl with the Washington Redskins and had a heck of a career as a player. But, you know, sometimes we get caught, and I do think that was part of the frustration, because the Chiefs were in tight games. They weren't winning 45-10. They weren't winning 55-3. They were in battles, you know, 23-20, and they need to get a field goal to tie the game. And then you get the drop pass. You got to hope the defense bails you out. Get the ball back. Go back down the field. Another drop pass. I think that's why the frustration was there out of Mahomes and out of the whole team. I mean, that offense was not the offense that we've been accustomed to seeing kind of during their dynasty or the beginning of the dynasty. It's been a, you know, crazy amount of points. And remember, I think it was the Thursday night game when Jared Goff and the young, high-powered Rams played the Chiefs, and Mahomes was like a baby. And that, what was that final? Like, you know, 53-48. It was crazy. Almost 100 points scored between the two teams. So I think that's what we get caught up in seeing.
Bo, everybody kind of going down memory lane with the dynasty of the Patriots with the Tom Brady roast. I haven't seen it. Everybody has seen it, said it was great and funny and really ribald, you know, no holes barred. Everybody in play to catch and receive a lot of barbs. One of the things about the Patriot dynasty that I think Patriot fans and most NFL observers appreciate, the role that Adam Vinatieri played in it, I think he should go to the Hall of Fame. You mentioned those Chiefs close calls this year and that was with the leg, Harrison Butker. And Saturday, I saw former University of Memphis kicker and great player, and he could make a case as well, Stephen Guskowski. We got to have more kickers in Canton, Bo.
Well, we might. I think Vinatieri will be a Hall of Fame kicker. The Patriots, the kick in the snow that propelled them in the AFC Championship to get to their first Super Bowl against the Rams and win as an underdog. Those are all, and then Vinatieri is critical of that day too. So I think he's maybe not a first ballot, but he could be. And we saw Devin Hester get in. We saw Morton Anderson get in a couple of years ago. So
it's all Ray Gap, trending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they're trending in that direction, trying to include as many of these
Justin Tucker
guys. Mm-hmm. Even Mark Gesko, the special teams guys. These guys are great at what they do, and they're critical parts. And I know it's fun to put all the skill guys in, but there is a little bit of a, you know, being the best at your position. That's why I wanted to see Devin Hester get in, because he was the best that we've seen at that position. James Lofton was good, but I don't think anyone ever thought James Lofton was, you know, the best receiver in the league. He's had a long career, but, you know, those types of guys where you're like, wow, that's great. Even Frank Gore, he was good, great maybe a little bit, but, you know, we want to pay him that homage by lineage. And maybe that's part of it too, lineage. But, you know, it's, I look at it as, were these the best guys? You know, that three-year window, as I kind of look at guys, like, this was the best player at the position during this particular time. And I think if you can say that amongst all the greats that are currently playing, you know, while these guys are in their heyday, that's how I at least look at it. I think if you're just an average Joe with amongst the best, but you played a long time, and you play these skill positions. I know we talk about Phillip Rivers, we talk about Matt Ryan. Like, Matt Ryan to me is just a modern day good quarterback. That's it. He's a good quarterback in today's age, where every quarterback that retires from now till the time that I'm way gone are going to have, you know, 50 plus passing yards, 200 some touchdowns.
Especially if you have Julio Jones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have Julio Jones and Roddy White. I mean, those guys were hammers, and it's a different league. I never thought that the 55,000 Marino had growing up, I never thought I would see anyone surpass it.
Not close.
And it's like a garbage statistic now.
Blown through.
It's bizarre to think how much it's changed.
Yeah. No, absolutely. We're talking to Bo Marchant. He joins us every single week to talk the NFL. Odell Beckham Jr. found himself a new home in Miami earlier this week. He signed a one-year deal with the Dolphins. How much of an impact can he make down there? It feels like we're seeing the end of his career, the last couple of years of his career. What kind of impact can he make down there with the Dolphins and with Tua?
I think it's a minimum equation. I know the money was there a little bit. He didn't get anywhere clear to the money Baltimore played him. I mean, he's a guy, I think maybe if they have some guy show up at camp, he could be a camp casualty. I think I guess it's how much I don't think of a bit LJ, you know. We're all living off that catch he made, kind of like the Jadavian Clowney fumble and against Michigan, where he sacked, fumble recovery. Like, listen, Beckham had that window. He did. He had that three-year window where he was super. And, you know, he's kind of fallen off. And it's just part of age and father time and just the way the cookie crumbles. So I wouldn't imagine much of an impact. I think, if anything, he could have a few shining moments, because you got, you know, Jalen Waddle, you got Tyreek Hill, so you have these hammers, and that backfield they have, even with the addition of Jalen Wright, I mean, wow. I mean, you're going to have a lot of ways to come at you. So I think there will be times that we do talk during the season where we say he came up with a big catch and a big play, but I think the overall season, 17 weeks or 18 weeks, 17 games, I think his impact is going to be very, very minimal.
With a less than stellar year this year at quarterback, could we be talking about Joe Burrow this time next year, almost in that same, it was in the past for like Odell Beckham Jr. we just talked about?
I would hate to see that, Brett, just because I think if that does happen, it's because he gets injured. Absent the Mahomes, if I was going to start a franchise, I might be a little bit hesitant now because he's been so injury-riddled over the last few years, but I still think Joe Burrow is a top three quarterback prospect in the National Football League. I would still.
Who's your other guy? Mine would be C.J. Stroud.
I would take Stroud. Yeah, I would go Mahomes, Burrow, Stroud, and then probably Josh Allen right now. And that's off the top of my head, but I do agree with you on Stroud. I think the way he played, just phenomenal. And I will say this: if Stroud stays healthy, and Burrow can stay healthy, I think next year at this time, it'll be a real debate where my mind goes. I might flip and think Stroud's that next great young prospect.
Too.
And
if Burrow, I take Trevor hurts, Lawrence over Allen.
Wow.
Ooh, Trevor Lawrence?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I tell you. Yeah, see, you know what? I wasn't high on Lawrence coming out, and I just, to me, he's never just shown that. I mean, when, and maybe it's because of it's sometimes it's the hype that these guys coming out. They said he was a once-in-a-generation quarterback, and his high school tape was so phenomenal, and his collegiate career at Clemson was so clean. And I still think Jacksonville's they know what they have, but I think when they go to bed at night, I think the front offices wish there's a little bit more, a lot left in the pot than, you know, half full, half empty type thing. Mm-hmm. I think they're hoping that he becomes a Joe Burrow, a Mahomes, a Herbert, a Josh Allen, and I mean, right now, Brett, I might even take Jordan Love over Trevor Lawrence, and I'm not exactly in love with Love, but that's, I guess, how much I still question.
I was from December on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was tough, and there was a lot of times Love looked really bad last year, but you know that was his rookie season in a nutshell.
When it clicked,
it clicked, and I was very harsh. I wrote a lot of stories where, if you went back and looked, you know, I was already calling for his head and getting him out of town. And that's why I don't like to jump too quick to conclusions and write these guys off, because now the kid looks like a really, really solid young prospect. And I was already, you know, not that you're going to fire your quarterback in a year, but, you know, I'm like, wow, this kid stinks. But he's far from that. Right now, Murphy and the front office of Green Bay, they look pretty smart doing what they did a couple years ago when – Rodgers was on the tail end of where he was, and they drafted Love.
Yeah. Well, Bo, the Steelers declined to pick up Najee Harris's fifth-year option. There's now been a lot of conversation, rumors about maybe the possibility of a trade, where Najee Harris could end up. The Steelers say that they could potentially re-sign Harris after the season, but they want to see how he fits inside the offense with new offensive coordinator Arthur Smith coming in. What does this season look like for Najee Harris, and will he be back, I guess, a year from now with the Steelers, or do you think that's going to come to an end pretty soon?
I do think it's a one-year season for Najee Harris, and the way that I say this is, and it's kind of like when James Conner was with the Steelers prior to him going to Arizona. He was coming up on free agency. Mm-hmm. If Najee Harris knocks it out of the ballpark, and he was one of the biggest voices during the Barkley and Josh Jacobs episodes when the running backs weren't getting paid, he was out front kind of, you know, hand-in-hand leading the way of saying, hey, we need to get paid. So I know in the back of his mind that he wants to get paid. And if he has a season that deserves that type of money, I don't think the Steelers are going to offer that up, and then it's going to go to the point where, you know, another team's going to be, you know, they're going to want to sign Najee Harris. On the flip side, if he's kind of done what he's done, and everyone says, oh, he's had three 1,000 yard seasons, that's great, but, you know, we're playing a 17 game schedule, 16 the first time. I like to say that he's kind of like a big pickup truck, and Jalen Warren is that same guy, but, you know, miles per gallon, you know, Najee's, you're filling up the gas tank, it's costing you $81 and you're getting 30 miles out of him.
Yeah.
You know, Jalen Warren, you're filling up the gas tank for $50 and you're getting 70 miles out of him. I mean, what would you rather drive? If you're not, you know, if you don't need a truck, it's just simple math
save
for me.
Save money
and,
every time.
Yeah, save money. And listen, when you go to Latrobe and you watch practice and the media has to kind of get off the field and we're going to lunch and they're doing their thing, the one guy that you see, one of the last players off that practice field is Najee Harris. His character, his dedication, is outstanding. So I don't want to knock him for maybe the production is not as lofty as we might expect or what he would expect. But if he turns it on, I still think success in an incredible way, the Steelers won't be able to afford him, and the lack of that incredible success will kind of, you know, throw some shade at him, if you will, where, you know, the Steelers aren't going to want to invest big money in him. So I just think it's kind of the James Conner, but he's a fantastic, fantastic team-oriented guy. I know Jaylen Warren, when he was undrafted, Najee took him under his wing, and Jaylen told me, you know, he set him up with massage people to get his body correct. He told him certain things, where to go, little tips. And, you know, he really took this undrafted running back at Oklahoma State and nurtured him and, you know, and really showed him the way to kind of get things done. And this was, what, Najee's only second season. So he already had that character of leader. And I know he's a Tomlin guy. Tomlin loves him. Mm-hmm. He runs hard. I'm never going to question the way the guy runs the football. But it's just that production, those big, big runs, it's just not there for him.
And he's caught potentially, maybe, the worst quarterback play in 50 years for the Steelers that he's got to run behind.
Yeah, he has. It didn't work out for him. He didn't arrive in Pittsburgh at the perfect time. Maybe right off the heels of Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown and Juju and Ben were all doing their thing, he probably would have stepped in and really put up those Le'Veon-type Bell numbers. And I think that's what expected when they took him in the first round. You're thinking, wow, you know, Le'Veon Bell was just here and he had this monster production. But the line's been, you know, they brought in all these old linemen over the last couple seasons. Mason Cole's already gone. They drafted two linemen with their first top picks. That just shows you that they knew this was an area in need. So the best-case scenario for Najee is he plays lights out, the Steelers go deep into the playoffs, and then if he decides he could somehow get the money and a hometown discount in Pittsburgh, maybe he stays. But I still think he's a guy that a lot of teams will covet because of the way he plays, the way he carries himself. I don't think you're going to be able to say that he's a guy that a team wouldn't want in their locker room. So, but I still think that them not signing in, I always say this to everybody, when you don't have good news, you always wait to the last minute. And the longer this took, you saw all these other teams kind of signing these fifth-year options. And it would have got down to Thursday, and you were still waiting. I just thought the writing was on the wall that they're not going to make this guy wait. They got rid of Mason Cole early in free agency so he could have the opportunity to not get, you know, skipped over, and a team could find him, and he could find a new home if that was the case. And I think if they knew that they were going to do this for Najee, I think they would have did it so he doesn't have to just kind of, you know, have a sleepless night and wonder what direction his life may be going after this 2024 season.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Bo, thanks so much, as always, for joining us. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll do it again next Tuesday.
Stay safe, gentlemen. Thank you always.
Thank you. Bo Marchant talking the NFL with us every single week, and this Sunday. It's not every week. It's once a year. But you need to tell mom you love her year-round, and the perfect way to do it for this week and for the holiday is with that Gould's gift card. I know a lot of people, they don't need a special day from Hallmark on the calendar to tell mom how much she is appreciated or someone special in your life. But this week we do it, and we do it for mom, and we do it with that Gould's gift card. Go to GouldsSalonSpa.com for any holiday, for any event. Even when it's not a holiday, you can go there and get that special card to make them feel so good, a commitment to providing a unique fashion-forward experience. That's what they've done for 92 years with distinction, over 300 area associates, making our area feel so good. It started in 1932. Mr. Sam Gould had a dream to provide his clientele with a truly professional and unique fashion experience, and it's been realized in such a great way. A family operation, sons and grandsons and granddaughters, invaluable associates, from the small hair salon to today's juggernaut, upscale ambiance, that chic style that once was considered just a Hollywood luxury. We have it now here in so many areas, all the different locations, never one far from wherever you are in our area, from downtown to Collierville, all points in between, and at the website. That's where you get that Gould's gift card. That's easy shopping. Go to GouldsSalonSpa.com, and it's exclusive to our area. It's the best holiday gift for any season. It's that Gould's gift card, the best spa packages, salon products, and those gift cards, they're the hit. Go to GouldsSalonSpa.com.
Well, we need to get to a break, so let's go ahead and take that. When we come back, we'll talk about what's trending.
Be sure to follow us. at Sports56WHBQ on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube to watch live video of our shows, stay up to date with station events, and have chances to win prizes. Don't miss out on anything that's going on. Follow us at Sports56WHBQ. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Time. We got a little less than 30 minutes left in today's show, and today's Brett's favorite day. He hadn't even mentioned anything about it, which I'm kind of, you know, Johnny, it's almost like he didn't want us to be excited with him.
Over what?
It's the NHL draft lottery day, Brett. Oh, I mean,
it is.
Favorite day of the year for you.
How'd I miss it? I had it as the NBA yesterday being today, because it used to be on this day.
Johnny, yeah. you probably didn't see this, but while we were talking to Bo, they like did like a little promo for it while SportsCenter was on, and they were like, next, the NHL draft
ping
lottery.
Ping pong balls everywhere.
And there were ping pong balls going, and Brett pointed over to it and like goes, huh. And I was like, I love that.
I love that.
It just
where
sneaks
are your
up
cracking
on
draft?
They are, what is that, like eighth or something like that, I think? But hey, you know, that's.
Did you see Utah in the graphic?
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. No,
it's official.
I did not see that. It's official.
Yoke fans.
Yeah. Welcome to Utah. So that's fun.
It's been official.
It's been official, unfortunately.
Do they have a name in Utah?
I don't know if they got a name or not. I think they're just Utah right now, because I think kind of similar to Oakland. With their move to Sacramento, I think they're trying to figure out, do they want to start off first year with a name, or do they just want to be like Salt Lake City Hockey Club and then figure out a name down the road?
Never been, but I'm told Salt Lake City, Park City, mm-hmm. Boomtown.
Sure, yeah.
That, you know, really what kicked it off, always good, yeah. Always growing, but the Olympics in 2002, that was the accelerant since then. And I tell you, who told me. I'm not trying to name drop, but I tell you, who told me.
Who's that?
It's where Jackson Dart is from.
Oh, really?
And his parents talk about it. And the boom time has been very good
sure.
to them.
That's awesome. That's good to hear. Huh. Interesting. So, yeah. So now I guess they have a hockey team, and I guess that's good for them.
And forever. If you were in group sales with the Utah Jazz, professionally, you had to place to yourself.
Sure.
Now here comes hockey.
Here comes hockey, and I'm sure, you know, who knows.
At the time of year you play.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's a good point.
You don't mind it too bad, like in St. Louis, if you're the Cardinals, you got the Blues. Well, that's
sure.
It's not really in
different times.
Really
sure.
going against them anyway, right. And different times.
Sure.
But right in your lap, you will.
No, absolutely. So that'll be interesting to see. First year for Utah.
I would say to anybody that wants to go out there and get in the sales department of any major league team,
uh-huh.
Go to the Padres.
Oh, yeah.
Any competition.
Got it. All to themselves.
Nominal college.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true. It's really true. So, yeah, that's a really good point. I'm curious, Brett. I started with Bo talking once we talked about schedules for a second, but I brought up the story that's just come out in the last hour or so about Rashee Rice. Obviously,
he's
talked
about to blow his career.
He really is. I mean, we talked a lot about him a couple months ago when that just horrific scene happened down in Dallas when him and
someone
else were
racing. But
that's
not close to resolution.
No, not anywhere close. But now to have this only about a month later, where it looks like from all accounts he was at a club and a photographer, I guess, came up trying to snap pictures of him.
Paparazzi?
Sure, that's what it looks like. And
who knew?
Yeah, struck the photographer. And
town? Where?
I think also in Dallas. Yeah, at Dallas Club early
paparazzi
Monday.
Paparazzi in Dallas?
Uh-huh. Okay. Hitting or at least a photographer. Who knows if it was paparazzi? Well,
everybody's
or not.
A photographer
that's,
now.
That's very true.
Hey, Brett, you are very
everybody.
True about
yes.
that.
Yes.
Everybody's a photographer.
Everything's captured on video, too.
Yeah.
Wherever you are, anytime.
No,
including now, Johnny. We're
that's
watching.
True. Yeah, all the time. All the time. So, yeah, so, I mean, not good. I mean, who would have thought that after we talked about the season and kind of the blossoming of what could be a really good piece for
ended
the Kansas
real
City
well.
Chiefs, ended really well.
Choppy for a lot of the year, as I alluded
yeah,
to
no,
with Bo.
Right.
That Mahomes come apart, Christmas night,
mm-hmm.
come apart was something to see of him kind of panicked and frenzied,
sure.
and they get it all together.
Mm-hmm, of course.
Caught everything in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And now how will that affect them? Because I don't think anybody's talking about them winning it again, are they?
Mm-mm. No, I don't. I don't think
so. Who wants
so.
To get out there with that prediction?
Not me. Not me. I think they were lucky last year, and so I think we're starting to see the end of that. But
they have him.
They have. Oh, absolutely. I think as long as
they have Andy Reid.
I think as long as you've got their big three and a quarterback, a coach, and a certain tight end, I think you make yourself pretty competitive.
And it just hadn't been tidy since the end of the year for Kansas City. The horrible events of the parade.
Uh-huh.
The snow people.
Snow people.
The amputations.
Amputation people.
The police trouble.
Police trouble.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
Stadium issue.
Oh, man. That's another really good one.
Voters voted no.
It's been a really bad offseason for the Chiefs. I mean, if you can take away from, like, right start after you win it all, it's been downhill ever since then.
I don't want to certainly the most important were people harmed.
Oh, absolutely.
At the celebration and the people involved in the vehicular accident with this player. So I shouldn't even try to be funnier. But if I'm that guy and I'm sitting there and I'm trying to celebrate the Super Bowl from the previous year with the Chiefs, and I look down and I have nine toes from it.
I mean,
I don't know how much I could enjoy that.
No, probably it probably takes a little bit of the
fun away from
it. I
lost a toe for my team.
Yeah, I don't have that toe there anymore. Yeah, but hey, at least they won the Super Bowl. Yeah,
I say about all that. Good Lord, gave me 10 for a reason. I want to keep them all.
Do you need all 10 of your toes though?
Yes,
yes, you do
for balance.
Huh? Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I want everything that I came with.
I want to leave with it.
Explain all that stuff. Oh, you don't need that. I'm gonna keep it. I want to keep it,
Brent. I want to leave with it too. Everything.
I do too, Johnny.
I would like to. Like to at least try. But yeah, it's not been good.
No,
not
been good. It's been choppy.
Yeah, it really has. But definitely didn't like that news. And I guess we get any more information, we'll definitely pass along.
A little. You're seeing teams in some OTA team events.
Yeah.
All voluntary at this point, but it will build to getting there. I'm surprised the schedule news kicked back this time a week from today, or maybe even Thursday of next week.
A week from Thursday. That is crazy. I did not expect that because I think, we were – even when we started talking about it, we were under the assumption that Thursday night, and then you kind of dropped that news on us. You also brought up something that I thought was really interesting, and we've seen it on SportsCenter. They've been showing clips of it, but Joe Burrow back out with the Bengals today, coming off of that wrist injury from last year. He says
we saw him full sweat at practice.
Sure did. And he said, still a lot, a lot to go, but said it's getting there, it's getting better. And it's really a shame that we've had to go through this kind of start of his career. When he's on the field and healthy, he's great. He's unbelievable.
When he's in there.
But the problem is he's not been able to stay out there really his entire professional career.
They've never had a great line in front of him. Now, they've had some real changes in it since last year with some free agent stuff. And he's vulnerable.
Yeah, he is. And I mean, it's just risky, and it makes you worry about him because, I mean, like you said, when he's healthy, when he's in there, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I mean, he is incredible.
Big guy, take hits in the pocket, very mobile.
Yeah, but that I mean, it's turned into completely you just can't trust his health out there because he's so injury prone, and I hate to see it for him.
And you got to that Super Bowl really early. Maybe should have, could have won that one against the Rams.
Yeah. But just couldn't, and you thought that was going to be the start of something, and then the injuries derailed it.
Marino went to the Super Bowl very early in his Dolphin career, never back to another one, but not injured like this.
Yeah, certainly. So, I don't know. It's definitely something I'm going to be watching.
Get your app out and tell me what live betting right now on the Oakland A's would win us. $10. They're down 15-8.
Wow, a comeback. Let's
see. To the bottom of the ninth, what would $10 net us?
Oh, geez.
If the A's got eight in the ninth to win 16-15.
Brett, let me try one or two more sports books. The first sports book I opened would not allow you to bet on Moneyline.
Come on, Vegas. You scared?
They are. Oh, speaking of which, we've got to have a conversation with Alan Bell.
We do. He's taking
Friday.
Home.
Second book that will not let me bet a money line on this game.
Come on, Vegas. If you're scared, say it.
Just say it. Let's see. I'll try one more that I have access to, kind of have access to.
I'm really
one.
Disappointed.
I kind of am, too.
Thought they took all comers.
You would think. But over the weekend, if you were following Alan Bell's Twitter site, he was going
today?
After the sports book. Oh, I haven't seen today. But I know on Sunday – Or maybe it was Saturday. It was probably both days.
They wouldn't release odds.
Dropped the odds like 10 minutes before game started.
Yeah.
And Alan was tweeting out, if you're scared.
And still torched him.
And still got after me. Alan's been unbelievable this year when it comes to college baseball.
He could wreck college baseball over and unders.
He could. Oh,
out
oh.
there for at sites for people.
Absolutely. And has been doing really well. I'm excited when we get to the postseason for Major League Baseball. Yep, three apps. Up three apps
one
down.
Out tonight. They could have won $10. I was going to float us $10.
Wow. But no, they're scared, Brett. It's crazy.
Might be a day they need $10, Johnny.
Maybe. Well.
They probably do.
Just one more free lobster dinner for somebody.
Speaking of need, or maybe free golf.
Yeah, free golf.
Speaking of need, I saw this earlier today, and we talked about it some off the air, more than on the air. And it's the streaming numbers from ESPN. In the last quarter, ESPN lost $65 million in the streaming service, ESPN Plus. Several rights fees coming up. You have to wonder how much this will weigh on the renewal. I got a really novel idea. I know this makes me sound every day of 61, about to be 62. Why can't we just go back to the old TV?
Well,
got a little box. Maybe have an antenna. Plug a few things in. Boom, bada, bing. You got TV.
Sure. Yeah.
Why can't we do that?
Well, because I think.
I tell you what, because your generation won't let us.
That's,
yours too, Johnny.
I do agree with that.
You streamers.
Well, and I think another.
Y'all want everything for free,
well,
too.
That's true.
Bring my DirecTV bill in on a forklift.
That does happen.
It's all but with a police escort.
They might need it. I don't know. I think ESPN Plus, I think the
got to pay to play. You can't stream everything.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Well, they're trying.
How much can they consider? They can't lose like that forever.
No.
Until they say, this hasn't worked.
Sure.
We got to go back to, if you want it, this is how you get it.
Yeah.
You get a goofy box, and you might have to go down and get it turned on at the place.
Sure. But it's only been recently where they've given you even the option to stream with an ESPN Plus package what's on like regular ESPN.
And everybody in our area talking about just what a hodgepodge of TV since who pulled the plug here locally?
Xfinity. Yeah, with Bally's. Yeah. So, I mean, it's TV rights deals have kind of become the big story in sports because – who knows what's going to happen? And a lot of local, I know Oklahoma City was in a big hoot a couple weeks ago because one of the games in the first round against the Pelicans was blacked out on Bally's Oklahoma, and so they were having to tell everybody, if you want to watch the game, the only way you can watch it is on the national broadcast on I think TNT or something like that, which we've had to deal with here, obviously in years past, but. A place like Oklahoma, it's been a couple years since they've been to the playoffs, and so they don't understand that whole blackout policy.
And I say, let's go back kind of the old way. As soon as we do that, and we maybe de-emphasize streaming, you know what we get?
What's that?
They're in that argument with the, whatever it is, whether it's Cox or whatever, whatever TV group, TV station, and you get no channel here until they get it resolved.
Yeah.
And we've been through that a bunch.
We were going through that last year during football season with one of those channels. I forgot.
Unless it's been resolved in the last 4 or 5 months, Little Rock's about 2 years into it
with
Fox on NFL Sundays.
wow, I'd hate to be in that situation. That's awful.
You'd have to go do other things.
You'd have to. No, if 100%.
If you wanted to watch NFL.
NFL at all. I know. I think it was last year during college football season. Melinda's dad was calling me like all the time on Saturdays, like, I can't get ABC or whatever. Like, how do I watch this college football game? And I was trying to explain to him, well, you can go do this and this. And because, I mean, they were in that, I forgot what they have, but they were in one of those disputes where they couldn't get ABC.
So. Kind of old TV days. I had the NFL network before there was even one because living in Far City on cable, you got all the Little Rocks.
Yeah.
So on Little Rock CBS, you'd have a different game than Memphis CBS.
Oh, wow.
But got both. Now, at 3 o'clock, both had the Cowboys.
Yeah.
But you would get different AFC game on Channel 5 in Memphis, NBC, and Channel 4 in Little Rock, NBC. And at 3 o'clock, you'd have all kind of different games going.
So you got a little bit of everything.
That's 1988.
Wow. How about that? A little cheat the system.
Changed
almost.
A little bit with Fox getting in.
Sure. Interesting. So, yeah, but that's going to be certainly going forward the big talk of how we stream, how we watch things,
how we consume.
How we consume, because it's
the difficulty
get more.
Of it.
Oh, it's bad. And I mean, nowadays with the different products and stuff. I mean, you're having to go into an app and then go out of that app and go to something different.
And the goofy buffering.
Oh, yeah. Buffering, too, is a big issue. So there's a lot of issues, Brad. I will agree with you.
Go out and turn the antenna.
I don't know about that. Let's go ahead and get to our final break of the day. When we come back, we're wrapping today's show with Taco Bell Crunch Time.
We are real sports talk. Sports 56 WHBQ. Available on your radio dial at 560 AM and 98.5 FM, as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, stay tuned in to Real Sports Talk. Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
This is pretty cool, and we're just getting started, so.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Go crazy, folks!
This is for all the biggest crunch time.
You are looking live. In your life, have you seen anything like that?
Goodbye. Hello, high school.
It's obviously crunch time.
Hammer, nail, coffin. This baby is over.
The Double Steak Grilled Cheese Burrito. So good. Double the steak with nacho cheese sauce, seasoned rice, red strips, sour cream, and the three cheese blend wrapped inside a warm flour tortilla, with even more three cheese blend grilled on the top. The Double Steak Grilled Cheese Burrito, it hits the spot now at Taco Bell. And at Taco Bell, when they say they are feeding people's lives with unexpected good, they mean it. Bowl food you can't get anywhere else.
Well, I know there's a lot of Razorback fans out there that's going to be excited for what I learned today. I learned that former four-star receiver Monte Harrison has reportedly committed to Arkansas as a walk-on. So certainly a good pickup for Sam Pittman and his group. A little bit about Monte Harrison if people aren't familiar with him. Harrison was originally committed to Nebraska in the class of 2014. How about that?
What is that?
2014.
2014?
Uh-huh. Here's the caveat. He was drafted that same year in the second round to the Milwaukee Brewers and decided to go the baseball route instead of football. He went through the minors, ended up getting to the majors, played a couple of seasons with the Marlins before a year with the Dodgers from 2020 to 2022. So 3 years of MLB action before playing a couple more years in the minors. But has now decided he wants to play football again and will join Arkansas as a walk-on.
Arkansas feels great about the boys he transferred at quarterback.
I think they should
with Bobby Petrino.
Look really good in the spring game.
They do. And they need it. Sam Pittman needs it. What I learned today, best record in baseball .694 winning percentage, winners of six straight, 25-11, and just underway in Philadelphia in a rematch of the 1993 World Series. It's the Phillies. They're in a rematch against Toronto. I like these East Coast first pitches starting earlier. It used to be too late. We need to get these games going and get to the ballpark.
No, I'm with you. What I could have done without, it's got to be what I'm watching on television right now. Brett, the entire NHL draft lottery
was complete
chalk. I mean, this is the most incredible thing.
It had all the drama of watching the sun set.
I mean, absolutely zero. I went back because I went like paying too
paint
much
drying,
attention.
Paint drying, ice melting,
I knew,
all more riveting.
I knew the Kraken were projected to get the eighth
it
pick.
It went perfect
it
order.
It went perfect order. So I went.
What
really,
did we do this for?
I really don't know because I wasn't paying attention before it was about the ninth
Utah,
pick.
Utah, no nicknames. Ain't no
yeah, no nickname, just Utah. How about that? But yes, the whole entire thing, like the A's, that's right. But we could have gone, I mean, we could have just done without the draft lottery and said, you know what? This is what it is.
Just send us a
go out there and have fun. That was awful, NHL.
Yeah, that was bad. I could have done without. Look, the easiest prediction last fall on NBA predictions was Rookie of the Year. It was Victor Wembanyama then. It was yesterday or today when they announced it, or yesterday when they announced it. Everyone had that. He won unanimously. This time next year, I want a Grizzlies draft choice in that Rookie of the Year mix if they stay with that pick.
Sure, absolutely. Where are you beaming tonight?
I'm headed to AutoZone Park for Redbirds against Norfolk to see what's being built by the Orioles. They got it wrong for so long, but now they have it right. Best prospects in the game.
That's right. And Matt Carpenter in the lineup tonight, going to start at first base.
Jackson.
Third.
Oh, Matt Carpenter with the Redbirds.
With the Redbirds.
Jackson Holland.
That's right.
Man.
How about that? A little bit of everybody. You get all the ages at AutoZone Park tonight. Beam me to this big-time matchup later tonight, Dallas and OKC. I've talked a lot about it. I really don't know how this is going to go. I don't really know who I'm for. I just want a really, really fun series.
Just
entertain
me. I think
we'll get that. Yeah, just entertain me. I think we'll get that with this series.
We'll watch Cavs at Boston. Celtics a big favorite. Oklahoma City hosting Dallas, a slim favorite. NHL playoff games, 15 baseball games, game of the night baseball, Seattle at Minnesota, your Mariners, your American League team.
That's going to be
maybe
a fun
your
one.
Favorite team overall by the end of this
Well,
year.
I mean, the way the Cardinals are going, you could certainly say I'll probably watch more Mariners games than Cardinal games, but it should be a really, really fun night of action between the NBA playoffs and baseball, NHL playoffs, a little bit of everything. But that's all the time we have. Enjoy your night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow afternoon.